You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com, and now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
Is the church ready for the return of the prodigals? Is the church ready for the return of the prodigals? It's a very important question. I want you to really think about this as we're going to delve into this today on the broadcast. I had to really think about this. Am I actually ready for what I'm preaching about? Because for prodigals, for misfits to come, what does that look like? What are some of the things that we're going to have to deal with the return of the prodigals? Is the church willing to open her doors to the folks that we would deem misfits, the people that don't look like regular Christians? What do Christians even look like? Do we have an actual look? I think at one point we did. Now it's much more diverse. You see pastors that don't really wear suits anymore when they preach. In fact, a lot of them wear, Nike Jordans and, whatever, it's skinny jeans. Is that okay with you? Do you find any problem with any of that? I think it's okay as long as there's reverence for the house of the Lord. I don't really appreciate too much folks preaching with a hat on. It's just me. I'm old school. I probably wouldn't preach with a hat on. Does that mean that, like, I think they're bad if they have a hat? No, but I'm just saying, like, there's something to having reverence, and maybe it's just the way I was raised in the house of the Lord. I like to dress up personally. Because to me, it's part of an honor of the house, right? But I understand that there's some people that are going to relate to a person that looks more like a hip-hop person or a person that looks different than the typical old-school pastor. So I've opened my mind in this area to be a little more accepting of the way some of the pastors are dressing out there, if it really does help to relate to certain folks. You know, and I have to think, when I came from Hollywood and I came from the world, you know, I was more interested in the message than the way somebody dressed. I'm just going to be honest. I cared more about how the person spoke, if they were real, if they were authentic. But I if somebody would have looked like me, I remember the first guy that took notice of me in church that wanted to help me in my brand new walk. I was so green. I mean, I had no idea what it meant to be a Christian other than stigma and what society thinks from the outside looking in. I didn't really understand what a life in Jesus Christ looked like, how to be consecrated, how to live in holiness. I didn't understand any of that, guys. And so I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You didn't either. So I'm thankful that there was this guy. He was a pastor, but he looked like me. He too had come from the world. He had come from the similar culture that I had come from. And so it did help me, and I always remember this, it did help me that there was this relatable guy that looked a little bit like me. So I can understand from that perspective why some pastors feel, well, maybe I'll ditch the suit and tie and, you know, I'll look a little bit more like the culture in order to captivate the culture. But see, this is where we get into the gray area, because then how much do we want to look like the culture? How much do we want to act like the culture? Is there something to having the dress shirt and the suit and the tie, or at least a sport jacket and jeans or whatever? Is there something to dressing up to church? I don't know. I mean, I'm sparking a whole different debate here than what I even really want to get into today. But I'm curious your thoughts on this. I mean, does it matter to you? Do you find it offensive if a pastor wears a hat, like a ball cap, you know, a baseball cap? Is that, you know, while he's preaching, would that bother you? I mean, again, to me, I think it's just reverence of the house. I personally probably wouldn't do it, but, you know, am I going to condemn somebody? I mean, if they're preaching, I'm more concerned about the substance and the context of their preaching and the state of their heart and the state of their lives. Now, I've seen a lot of these folks that are trying to be relevant that also capitulate and cave on key areas of sin, you know, calling out sin, talking about repentance. And that's where it gets really dangerous, because then that's the seeker-friendly greasy grace model that we've had such an issue with. That's honestly been one of the reasons and the catalyst to why we're in such a state of moral decline in America, is because the pulpit stopped preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God. And that is a major problem. And that's where, so I'm more concerned from, you know, rather than outward appearance, I'm more concerned about context, content, what the person's actually preaching. If they're sticking to the entirety of the Word of God, they're preaching every aspect of the Bible, they're setting their congregation up for success, they're taking a righteous stand in this very late hour, they're bold, you know, that to me is more important than how they look outside. I don't necessarily care if they're tatted up. I mean, is again, this is one of those areas, like after you become a Christian, should you still be getting sleeves and getting tatted? A lot of people would say probably not, because it's not wisdom. And it could lead people astray or down a wrong path. But then there's others that say, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Again, that's like it's like the baseball cap and while they're preaching. I mean, some are going to be fine with it, some are not. But what happens when God redeems and restores somebody from a wayward lifestyle, somebody that's been a former drug addict, a former pimp, you know, a former prostitute, like Mary Magdalene? I mean, somebody that's come off of drugs and alcohol, somebody that's come out of the club scene or Hollywood or you know, just wherever, the bar scene in you know, whatever city they're from, or the underground scene, or, you know, just somebody that's been totally messed up. What about one of these furries? Have you heard of these furries? What if one of these furries gets saved? You know, these people that think they're a dog or a cat. It's like a whole subculture. What happens when they come in the church? What happens when somebody who's transitioned from a male to a female, even though it's not a real transition, but you know what, all this stuff that's going on, what happens when they walk into the church? And how do we even address that? How do we address a lot of the brokenness and the things that are happening? You know, what happens when a BLM leader comes in and wants to get saved? You know, what happens when an Antifa person comes in and wants to get saved? How are we going to respond to these folks? Are they coming in already? I believe they are. I'm seeing them at our church. I'm seeing drug addicts coming in. I'm seeing homeless people coming in, people that don't even have a home. And I'm not talking about somebody who's like living on the side of a freeway. I'm talking about somebody that looks fairly normal, but yet is saying, hey, pastor, I don't even have a place to go to sleep tonight. You know, will you help me buy a tent? I mean, this is the type of thing that we're running into right now. How do we address this? How do we address these issues in the church? Are we doing a good job of it right now? Ex-gang members that come in? Would the typical American church receive an ex-gang member with a bunch of, you know, 13 tattoos all over their body? You know, Sir 13 or, you know, Pacoima or whatever, wherever they're coming from. You know, when they got literally their gang, you know, tattoos all over their body, maybe even on their face. Are we gonna be afraid of them? And should we be? Well, these are legitimate questions. We've got to navigate this because there is a return of the prodigals. It is accelerating. And in today's broadcast, I'm going to get into this in depth, where we're going to go through why the Bible says this is actually going to happen. And it is happening because it's part of the two simultaneous revolutions. We've got the revolution in the world that's happening with all of the evil. I mean, we just saw it with Joe Biden declaring, what was it, a Trans Visibility Day on Easter of this year. I mean, even though people are saying it, they've had it before, still, I mean, you're the president of the United States. You might think, hey, probably not a good idea to have a day where one large section of our population thinks is an abomination and it's their highest holy day. Maybe we shouldn't have a transgender day on the same day. Let's push it out 2 days later. I mean, come on. Obviously, they did this on purpose. There's one day a year that we celebrate Resurrection Day. One day. And it's the highest holy day. And so, of course, it was blasphemy. Of course, it was something that he did to be an abomination. And so we understand this. Of course, that's why they did it. That they want to antagonize the Christian community, because this is a battle that is not against flesh and blood. It's against strongholds and principalities. And so these are what we're dealing with. So when you talk about Joe Biden, it's not Joe Biden. It's whatever principality and stronghold is running the government of this country right now, unfortunately. And we know it's not holy. We know it's not of the Lord. Now, is there a remnant within government? Sure. Is there a remnant within the Republican Party? Yes, thank God. But, you know, there is a lot of uniparty folks. There's a lot of rhinos in there. You know that. Mitt Romney's of the world. You got the Liz Cheney's of the world. So, real battle. And so what happens when one of these people that we consider to be crazy. Let's just be honest. Demonic, demonized. What happens when one of these folks wants to come and attend service with your family at the local church or at your church, at our church, at my church? How do we address the coming harvest that is going to be large and amazing, that's coming of the prodigals and the misfits, the folks that live with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, the folks that are in a, polygamous relationship? I mean, you know, multiple people that they're in a relationship with at once. How do we address this when they come into the church? What do we say? How do we act? All right, listen, a conversation that needs to be had, but is not being had in many places. We might make some news today, but that's okay. We'll be back. This is the Todd Coconato Show. Stay tuned. Very important show. Welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as Remnant News. We got Remnant News, by the way. Remnant.news is the website, or PastorTodd.org. That's where I would encourage you to go, PastorTodd.org. We have an app in the App Store, by the way, under Todd Coconato Ministries. Please download the app. Thousands of you have. It's a way for us to get around the censorship of the social media platforms. They're trying to censor us. Yes, pastors. Yep, Christians. I know some people don't want to believe it, but it's happening. This is our way around it. One of the ways that God has given us a way where we can speak whatever we want and there's no one over my shoulder, thank God. But on some of these platforms, you can't do that. You just can't do it. So Luke, let's go in the Gospel of Luke 15, 20 through 24. Luke 15, 20 through 24, it says, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So this is the quintessential passage about the returning prodigal. And it highlights the father's unconditional love and readiness to forgive, serving as a model for how we as the church should welcome back those who have wandered away, or even worse, those who have never even known Jesus. I mean, is it worse? I don't know. They're about the same, actually, because either way, they're on their way to hell unless they repent and turn to Jesus. Either they're coming back home or they've never been home, but either way, they're coming to relationship with the Lord. And the angels rejoice, and we know God rejoices, because as a free will individual, when we choose to come to God, to give our heart to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's the most important and consequential decision we will ever make in our life. It's more important than your job choice. I would argue it's more important than who you marry, because ultimately this is the game changer. It is the decision maker. The determination will be made on the future for your eternity, on whether you will rule and reign with Jesus Christ or you will go to hell. It's pretty much that simple. So welcoming in a prodigal or somebody who's never, I guess let's get into the definition first of what is a prodigal. What actually is a prodigal? So a prodigal refers to someone who has lived a wasteful, recklessly extravagant life, particularly in the way that involves a departure from the faith, okay, from biblical values. And it's most commonly used in the context of the parable of the prodigal son, which is found in Luke. I just read a little bit from there, where the younger son asks for his inheritance early, leaves home, and squanders his wealth in reckless living. When he reaches a point of destitution, he decides to return home, expecting to be treated as a servant. Instead, his father welcomes him back with open arms, celebrating his return, rather than condemning his past actions. So in the broader spiritual or moral context, a prodigal can refer to anyone who strayed from their faith, from biblical values, from the biblical morals and beliefs, but later chooses to return or to seek reconciliation. And the story of the prodigal son is often used to illustrate themes of repentance, forgiveness, and unconditional love of God, encouraging the idea that no one is beyond the reach of redemption and that a return to faith or moral integrity, according to the Bible, is always possible no matter how far one has strayed. So, let me just tell you a little bit about my personal testimony on this, because this is near and dear to my heart, because I am a prodigal. I gave my heart to the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 8 years old. My grandparents brought me there. I went forward. I accepted Jesus. I didn't really understand what I did. I was a kid. I was still a Hollywood actor at the time. And so I came home. I remember the Billy Graham people called me. So they actually had a follow-up, which was pretty amazing. I didn't want to talk to them. So I told my mom. She said, "Do you want to talk to them?" I said, "No." So then that was that. And I guess I had my first encounter with God at that crusade, but did I really change my life as that 8-year-old? No, because I continued living a certain way, and I grew up in my teens. I was rebellious. Part of it was because of the situation that was going on at home, by the way, which I don't want to blame my parents, but they had a really bad marriage and used to argue and scream all the time. And so I kind of tried to get away from all that, and I found a crowd of rebels. And, you know, started dabbling with, you know, illicit drugs and alcohol and promiscuous lifestyle, you know, because it was, to me, life was hopeless. I was really hopeless. And so I didn't have any hope at that time. My hope was found in prominence in society and you know, my friendship group, if I was popular and well-liked and all that stuff, you know, and then, you know, as I got older in Hollywood and just, you know, the friends that I had made, my identity was there. My identity was who I was, and, you know, if I go up to the front of the line at a club, does somebody let me in? You know, do I know the people that are doing it? You know, do I go to cool parties? Do I have friends that are cool? You know, that's how the world thinks. Am I successful? Do I have money? You know, what does my house look like? What does my car look like? What do my clothes look like? You know, work out all the time. The whole thing, it was a whole lifestyle. And yet I was miserable. Even though I had, you know, success, it wasn't like I'd failed in the things of the world. I actually had some success according to the world standards, but I didn't have the void filled. And so when I finally made the decision to give my heart to the Lord in my early 20s, this was a point in my life where I had, even though I didn't reach rock bottom when it comes to the world standards, but from my spiritual state, I was down. I was done. Either God is real, or what is even the point of all this? You know, that's where I got to. What is the point of my life? I have no purpose. And nothing makes me happy. Even if I get a brand new car, I'm happy for like a day or a few days, and all of a sudden that goes away. You know, new clothes, whatever these things that they're telling me is important in the world, you know, it's only a momentary fix. I mean, even if I, you know, was like some girl, and this is before I was married, of course, you know, like some girl, and then I was able to get that girl. They called it pulling that girl in the street terms in the world. You know, if I was able to get that girl, you know, supposedly you have a game. They called it game, which is a total lie from the pit of hell. But, you know, when you get the girl that you like, and then it's like, you know, at first you're all excited, and then that wears off. I mean, this is the world. Everything in the world wears off because it's not founded on the solid rock. There's no solid foundation. You understand what I'm saying? So these things are temporal. And they don't bring happiness. So what happens when a prodigal comes home to Jesus? And you can just, I mean, you could stray from your faith due to a series of events. Maybe you lost a close friend or loved one, or even a daughter or son or spouse, and you get angry with God. How could you let this happen, God? Or, you know, you start thinking about how you were molested. How could a good God let me? I was just this innocent kid. How did he let me get molested? I was going to a school, and there was a school shooting there, and kids died. Not me personally, but one of my friends. You know, how do you reconcile that? How does God let that happen? How does God let this kid in my neighborhood? This is a true story right now. You know, this kid that's gone missing, and people are thinking something nefarious happened, but this precious kid is missing. How does a good God let that happen? Well, these are the age-old questions. And many people ask me these questions. So we're going to answer some of these questions and talk about prodigals. Very important episode. There is a return of prodigals. They are coming. Are we ready in the church? We're going to have this discussion more when we get back. We'll be right back. Pastor Todd Coconato. ToddCoconato.com is the website. Hallelujah. Welcome back. Todd Coconato Show, PastorTodd.org or ToddCoconato.com's website. We have an app. Download the app, please. PastorTodd.org. You can go to ToddCoconato.com/app if you want to find out all the places where you can download the app. Todd, C-O-C-O-N-A-T-O, like Coconato, Coconato.com. I originally had that website, and then we made it PastorTodd.org, but they both work, and one will lead to the other. But the thing is that it's easier to remember PastorTodd.org. So if you can't remember my last name, just go to PastorTodd.org. That's the hub, and I appreciate you doing so. And we're talking about prodigals, and if the church is actually ready for the return of the prodigals. I don't think we are. Do you think we are? I don't think so. So we're talking about this. So somebody finally comes to this place in their walk, you know, or they didn't have a walk, and all of a sudden they start seeking God. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So you start drawing near to God. I call it taking the Pepsi challenge. Remember that back in the day? You know, basically what I mean by that is, look, you ask God, God, are you real? God, are you real? And then if you're real, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. My heart is sincere. God, I want to know you. If you're real, reveal yourself. When you do that, if you do that, he will reveal himself to you because God wants you to seek him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So, yeah. Yeah, God wants you to seek his heart, seek his face. Remember this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And, you know, what does he say? Then I'll hear them from heaven. I'll heal their land. But what do you want us to do? Seek his face. So when you start seeking God, yes, you will find God. Yes, you will. If you're truly doing it, if you really wholeheartedly, you're taking time. What I mean is like you pull over in your car, you get alone with God somewhere where it's quiet. And you say, God, I really do want to know you. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my heart to you. I need to know you. He is going to start revealing himself. So you're going to start feeling his Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It happened to me. It's amazing. And if you have that true encounter with God, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. So the deal is, okay, somebody has this. This is what we pray for. We talk about souls. I mean, it's literally what this whole ministry is about. Is kingdom business and souls. We realize that America is not going to be saved by a political person. America is not going to be saved, by some carnal situation. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but strongholds and principalities. So we're winning. We need to win the battle in the spirit. And the main thing that God asks us to do is to go, which is ekbalo, go out, cast out, drive out, to go and to make disciples of the nations. And to baptize them. So here we are, 2024, election year. Things are going crazy. We got bridges being hit by ships. I mean, ridiculous things happening. The president declaring Trans Visibility Day on Resurrection Day. I mean, it couldn't get more dark than, I mean, it seems like it couldn't, but it actually could. But it's pretty darn dark. And all of us feel it. We all know it. So now there's this simultaneous revolution. The other side of it is that there's the Jesus Revolution. And the Jesus Revolution means, just like the movie Jesus Revolution, that there's going to be all these people that honestly don't look like typical Christians. They don't speak Christianese. They don't operate in churchianity 101. They don't know the basic etiquette, the words to say, how to act, what the Bible says. All they know is they've sought God, and they found him, and they're baby Christian, if that, coming in and saying, now what? Feed me, teach me. And here comes the Pharisees now. Here comes the Pharisees that are in the church that look at one of these folks that's coming off of whatever addiction and all the death that the devil has set, the trap that the devil set for their life. And somehow through somebody's prayers or somebody ministered to them, or something. God met him somehow. This person is walked into, here they are, they're walking into the church. What is the reaction of the folks in the church? How do they respond? The guy's got a mohawk with earrings all over his, face, and and, you know, tattoos everywhere, and he's not dressed like a typical Christian. He's coming and he smells a little funny. You know, what is the response of the church? Do we kick the guy out? Do we get security and say, hey, there's somebody that doesn't look like us? And here's the deal. We've got to be astute about this, and we got to be wise, because as much as we do have, you know, for the remnant people that are on here, we do have a heart for prodigals. Some of these folks are going to come in and cause problems. So we do have to be watchmen and we be wise and use discernment. But we also can't judge a book by its cover. We've got to originally give them the benefit of the doubt and let them in. And so it's kind of like Reagan, trust but verify, but be kind. How are we known as Christians? By our love, by the fruit of our life and by our love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. So here comes this brother looking mean, tatted up, smelling like, you know, skunk marijuana. Maybe just smoked before he came to church. Who knows? Here he comes. He's coming in the church. What's the reaction of the greeter? Here he comes through the door. How's the greeter? Hey, sir. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. Can I help you find a seat? Good. I'm so thankful that you came to church today. And then they sit in there and let the Holy Spirit work on their heart. And we give an altar call and we let the Spirit move in the service. Hallelujah. And God works. Well, all of a sudden this guy, feeling the love of Christ, he didn't come to disrupt the service today. No, he actually was led in there by the Spirit. And because the church welcomed him with open arms and loved on him, by the end of the service, this guy's weeping like a baby. And so he comes forward, he gets on his knees, and he gives his heart to the Lord. That's amazing. That's what we do this for, friends. Everything worked out as it should. Okay? Everything worked out in that scenario as it should. He didn't do anything disruptive. Hey, maybe he wants to get deliverance prayer, you know, and he starts getting delivered of all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, not every case is the same. The way the Lord delivered me was through just going to church and receiving prayer from folks and being mentored and being accountable and giving my heart and being teachable, you know. And then there were some, you know, I never had a situation where somebody prayed over me and I started manifesting demonically and started throwing up and all. Now, I know that's some people's experience. But it's not everybody's experience. But God peeled away the layers in me a different way. But I was teachable. I really did make a commitment to the Lord. I was sincere about my decision. Folks said, it's not going to last. He'll be back. They tried everything to roll out the red carpet for me. I remember the club promoters and people from Hollywood were calling me with, we'll let you come and bring 15 people for free and we'll pull you right through the line. And, you know, we'll give you a free drink tickets all night. All we want you to do is come. I mean, it was like the deal's good. You know, there's going to be a party tonight and the whole Disney cast is going to be there and we just want you to come and just hang out. We just want you to be there, Todd. I mean, these are the types of things that were happening. And it was tempting because the old me would have been like, yeah, let's do this. But I knew that if I step back in those things, that I would be back in the darkness. I'd be going back to my vomit. So I stayed the course. Did I not have some setbacks along the way? No, I had some setbacks along the way. We all have. But I truly did make a decision to serve the Lord, and I think the Lord's honored that in my life. I think he knows my heart. I believe he does. I know he does. He knows your heart. He knows the state of our heart. So the deal is, okay, these people come, and I remember there was a church service that we had in my old church in California, and I was preaching, and these two girls, and many of you know the story, that we had invited from the local coffee shop, we had invited them to come to the church for like 2 years, and then finally they come, and they come in with short shorts on and some tank tops or whatever. It was summertime in California, by the way, pretty hot. And they came in. I remember during my preaching, finally they came after, 2 years of inviting them, never stepped into a church before. And they come, and they were excited, and they saw, hey, there's that guy, there's Pastor Todd, the guy that, you know, we met at the coffee shop for 2 years, has been nice to us, he invited us to the church, his mom's invited us. Hey, we're here, we came. We wanted to honor you. We came. Here come the ushers. Ushers come over. I'm preaching. I'm watching this all happening, playing out as I'm preaching. See the ushers go over there. All of a sudden, the girls get up. All of a sudden, they're walking out with the ushers, and then they leave, and that's it. And nowadays, I would have stopped the service because I don't care anymore. But back then, I was younger, and so I just kept preaching, but it bothered me. And so I remember right after the service, I just ended the service, and I ran over to the ushers, and I said, what happened with those two girls. And they said, well, we told them that they weren't dressed properly for church. So we told them they had to leave. I said, oh my gosh, I've been inviting them to church for 2 years. They finally came. Here they are. And you just kicked them out and told them they weren't welcome. Friends, this has been the case for many of you, many of us. Some of you are misfits. Some of you are prodigals. Some of you have been church hurt because of some Pharisee out there, some self-righteous super saint that didn't understand the scripture when it comes to prodigals. Now, does that mean we let somebody come in to seduce the saints and look all sexual? No, obviously not. You know, but you could have maybe, there's other ways to do it. First of all, these women weren't dressed that way. They just had typical California gear on, you know, but they weren't dressed for church. But I guess the ushers, you know, it's funny how you treat different people different ways, you know. If they had looked a little bit different, they probably wouldn't have gotten bothered. But these were in shape young ladies, you know. These were dancers. They were like hip-hop dancers, you know. And so, anyways, it was a sad story for me, but it was a moment of a real wake-up call for me. I said, the church is not ready for the prodigals. I know the way I was welcome. Thank God there was that man that welcomed me in that looked like me. But friends, I'm going to be honest. There was not a lot of folks that came over to me, loved on me when I came to Christ. There was 2 years where I felt like I was in like the dark ages of my life. It was like I had walked out of being popular in Hollywood and having all these friends. And, you know, that's what's important when you're in the world. Obviously not now, but when you're in the world, that's like a big deal, you know. And I had a lot of friends and, you know, I had a reputation and, you know, I walked out of all that where I was constantly, like every night being invited somewhere, you know, real social light, right? To literally having no friends, sitting in my parents' house. It was pretty boring. I'm going to be honest. It was pretty boring. Not knowing what to do with myself in my early 20s, trying so hard not to go back out and party and do drugs or drink or whatever young people do these days. You know, this is many years ago, but it's still similar. So the thing is like I'm fighting and I'm fighting and I'm trying to find Christian friends that I can relate to. And it was so hard. People weren't really loving on me too much. I'm just going to be real with you. A few folks were, but not a lot. So why do I have a heart for the prodigals? I've lived this out. And I really believe God let me, and some of you have lived this out. You've lived it out and you know what it's like to come into the church from the world. And you know that the church isn't doing a good job of it. We're not doing a good job of discipling. We're not doing a good job of welcoming folks. So what happens when they come? Here they come. How are we going to prepare? What are we going to do different? So listen, I'm gonna break this down in the last segment, but let me just start here. We've got to start thinking differently. We've got to start thinking like Jesus Christ, who literally had a ragtag group of disciples that were the least of these, that were the misfits, that's who Jesus hung around. And yet he used those very people to turn this world upside down. It was the prodigals and the misfits. So is it a mistake that in the end times where we're at right now, all of a sudden there's a re-emergence of the prodigals, of the misfits? Yeah, these are going to be the last generation of preachers. These are going to, because they know the enemy's playbook. They know what the devil's up to. They almost succumbed to it. They almost died because of it. But there was a reason why God spared their life. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Coconato Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as the Remnant News. Remnant News, remnant.news is the website, or pastortodd.org is our main site. And we do have an app in the App Store under Todd Coconato Ministries. It's a red R, and it's a way to get around the censorship, because there is censorship going on. What an important show. What an important show. The return of the prodigals. Is the church ready? How do we change our mindset? How do we navigate the possibility of danger from some of these folks where they could come in and cause a major disruption in the church? So you got to have good security. You got to have eyes out there looking all the time, because nowadays we have all these types of crazy things that sometimes happen, but our security team is amazing. And so we take care of it, whatever it is. We do it with love. I've had people recently start screaming out in the middle of the service. I've had people dancing all around, a little bit crazy, kind of, which I don't mind dancing, but, you know, when they're drawing attention to themselves, it might get a little bit much, I think. So you got to have order. You got to maintain order as a pastor in this hour. You know, this was actually happening back in Paul's days as well. That's why he said women need to be silent, because they were screaming out during the service in that particular congregation. And so people deal with these types of things differently. Some people are very, very, you know, they got like bodyguards. You see some of these pastors walking around bodyguards. I don't necessarily need bodyguards, but I do think it's important that we make sure that we're wise, because we're in a high threat level environment. I mean, I just was a pastor the other day that here in Tennessee, he was trying to stop one of the congregants' cars from being stolen. He got shot in the face. You know, I mean, pastors are getting shot. They're getting, you know, churches are under attack more and more. It's going to happen more and more. We got to be ready. So you got that going on, an elevated threat level. But at the same time, you've got a Jesus revolution where the very folks that might look like they'd caused the problems are coming in hungry and looking for the Savior. And we got to give them the love and teach them and raise them up in the Lord, because this is the next generation of preachers. See, listen, our country has reached such a level of depravity that even those that don't have the Lord in the secular world and atheists are realizing that we're at such a depraved place that people are like, this can't be all that life is. It's miserable. It's evil. I've done more drugs than anybody could ever do, and yet I feel horrible. People tell me this is supposed to make me feel good. I've drank myself to oblivion, and now I'm just this full-blown alcoholic, and I'm miserable. This is folks' reality. You know, opioid addiction, you know, fentanyl, you know, mollies every day. I mean, totally whacking out your mind, killing your brain cells. This is the devil's plan. So we yank somebody out of darkness through prayer or by ministering to them, and all of a sudden they come in stinky, smelly, and looking just like the world in heart. You know, it's like not your typical churchianity Christian. Speaking Christianese, blessed and highly favored. How you doing, brother? Blessed and highly favored. Well, praise God. You have no problems. No, everything is amazing. Praise God. This is the church that we've developed. Somebody's got an addiction to pornography. I better not say anything, because I'll be judged. So they stay quiet and they don't get delivered. I'm telling you, friends, the environment has to change where we understand that the church is indeed a hospital, and they're all different segments of society converging because they know that we're in some dark world and there has to be an alternative, and there is. His name is Jesus Christ, and he came for all, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall ever believe in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. But the deal is, somebody's got to teach these folks. They got to mentor these folks. They got to love on these misfits and prodigals. We got to welcome them in and get them equipped and trained and delivered and healed and set free. And we can't kick them out when they come in. And so it's going to change our way of thinking. It's going to change. We've got to step into the realm of uncomfortability. We got to step out of the realm of judgmentalism, where we're looking at people by the way they look and not seeing that it's a soul. This is a soul that is yearning for truth. That their life is on a path right now of death and destruction, but we as a Christian have the ability to pull them out of that and give them the truth. We have the actual answer to this dying world, but it's going to take us as the church really changing our whole way of thinking. And the question is, are we able to do this? Listen, I had to stretch myself on. I'm sitting here talking about the prodigals and misfits, but when they come into my church, how am I responding? How am I reacting? Am I okay with somebody that comes in that doesn't look like me? Yes, I have to be. Am I okay? Now, does that mean we accept the sin? No, not at all. We teach and preach the truth of the Bible and nothing changes. We stand firm on that. But that doesn't mean we don't bring it. Okay, here's another example. We're out in LA. We got the church. this very nice, I will say they're very kind, very nice, lesbian couple starts coming to the church. What do we do? Do we kick them out? No, you know what? We decided to let them stay. But you know what? I didn't change one iota of the way I preach. They asked me, they said, do you believe in homosexual marriage? I said, no, but here's why. It's not because I came up with this. It's because this is what the Bible says. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says, and I'm a messenger of the Bible because I'm a preacher and I'm a Christian, and what is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ, his teachings, and his word. And so, look, I am only the messenger. Don't shoot me, but yes, do I stand firm by what the Bible says? 100%. But again, see, people get drawn into this thing because they say, well, you believe that two women can't be married. No, you got to understand, I believe the Bible, and I didn't write it. But I'm going to stand firm because the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is real. It is living. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is the bread of life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. He's living, and so is the Bible. The Bible is living. And so it is truth. It is truth. And so I stand by truth, but doesn't mean I hate you. Doesn't mean I'm mad at you. Doesn't mean I can't love you or be your friend. But I just have to stand by the truth of the Bible. I can't cave or capitulate because that's who I am. I believe the Bible is God's word. But so it's a you got to navigate this. Do it with love. Yeah, you're welcome. Listen, come to the church. As long as you're not going to be disruptive or make a big scene or do something crazy, like you come and sit as many times as you want. You could audit the church, like come out and just sit there. You don't even have to say, I'm a Christian. Just come and sit and listen to what the Bible says and listen to what the preacher teaches and be loved on. And I believe that if they're there for that, you know, period of time, that the Holy Spirit is going to convict them and work on their heart. Why? Because they're seeking. And when you seek, you find. You knock and the door shall be open. So this is it, guys. They're going to come. Let them come. And when they come, love them. Don't cave or capitulate on the message. Don't change the message to try to be relevant. Don't you know, water down the message so that you can gain more people. No, we're not doing any of that. We're sticking and standing firm to the Bible, but at the same time, we're doing what it says. We're loving folks. We're welcoming them in, and we're not judging a book by its cover. If they come in with pink hair, blue hair, green hair, I don't care. Come. Tattoos everywhere, come. You know, just coming off of a binge of alcohol, come. Come, all who are weary. All who are weary. He's going to give you rest, peace that passes understanding, joy unspeakable. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And he is going to set you up for success. You just come. Don't worry about what other. Listen, if there's judgmental Christians, mean-spirited Christians, pharisaical Christians, bless them. Bless them. You know what? I dealt with them. I've dealt with them for over 25 years. And I'm still dealing with them even as a pastor. The church has all different types of people. But it's about a personal relationship with God. But don't ever stay away from God because of the people. Come to God today and give him your heart. Give him your life. And church members, listen, people are coming in for the first time. We've got to welcome them with open arms and remember, humble ourselves and remember what it was like when you were caught up in the world, when you were messed up. And think about how merciful God has been to you. That's what I do. I remember like it was yesterday, how nervous I was. I was sweaty, and yet somebody welcomed me in. I think it was a greeter, but praise God for the greeters. And you know what? I stayed. Even though I've seen a bunch of junk in the church over the years, I stayed because I know ultimately it's truth. This is the reality of our world. So are we ready for prodigals? Well, we need to be. And if we really need to pray about this and think about it, it's going to take us really stepping outside of our comfort zone and really analyzing and thinking, what can I do better? How can I be the change? Amen. Love you. Bless you. Great conversation. We'll talk some more soon. PastorTodd.org is the website. God bless. Hey, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's broadcast. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, very, very important conversation. What are we going to do with the prodigals? We've got to accept them and let them in and teach them and disciple them. Amen. Hey, listen, if this content is a blessing to you, you think that God is using this ministry, I hope that you could support us. We need your support. We are in a David versus Goliath battle, and we are fully listener supported. You can go to pastortodd.org or toddcoconato.com/give. toddcoconato.com/give. Thank you so much. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.